I don't know about you, but I am glad I'm not parenting kids today. I mean, we have kids, but they're not younger.
I mean, I've said that many times. It's scary. We thought it was scary 40 years ago. I think it's 10 times harder today. We have a generation walking away from their faith. We raised them in the church. We raised them to believe, and then they hit teenage years and beyond, and they walk away in numbers. You talk about scary. Parents are petrified right now. How do we help our kids?
Are you feeling this as I am today of the urgency to get biblical principles and help to our families? Because this is what we're about. We have faithful givers that gave 40 years ago because we thought this is so important. Well, it's even more important
now. Well, let me tell you, we cannot lose this battle.
Yes.
And every day we get to speak life and the word of God. Actually, we get to bring Jesus to your family and bring hope to give you practical tools to help your kids and our kids be strong adults for Jesus. And that doesn't happen without you joining us in prayer and joining us as a financial partner. I know everybody's asking for money at this time of year. We are saying, help us not lose this battle.
Yeah.
Let's win and help us keep bringing life and the word of God to your family so that you can win and your family can win. Join us today. Your dollar will be doubled. And this is a battle we will not lose, and you can help us win it. And so you can go to familylifetoday.com right now and make a gift.
Join us in this battle. It matters.
So I know this about myself and men, and I can't speak for women, so Ann, you'll have to do this. But I know for me and every guy I know, we hate to do things we're not good at.
Oh, yeah. I think that's true for women too, but is it especially true for men?
I mean, 2-3 weeks ago, I played the worst round of golf. And I got in the car and said, I'm done. I'm never playing this stupid game again. Why do I keep trying to do this 30 years in? And I just quit. I just quit. I literally threw the clubs in the back of the car. I'm like, I'm just going to burn these things. Why do this again?
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com.
This is Family Life Today.
Ten days later, I'm out again, and my front nine, I shot par. I shot par. I had the best round of my life. Of course, I didn't shoot par on the back nine, but I had the best round.
But it gave you hope.
And there I was again, but I thought, as men, and I'm sure women are the same way, it's like we don't like doing things we're not good at. So we just sort of quit, or we give up, or we moved on to something else. And I thought, okay, when it comes to prayer, I think a lot of men feel the same way I did about my golf game. It's like, I don't understand it. I'm not good at it. My wife's a lot better at it than I am. I'll just let her be the prayer warrior in our family, and I'll just sort of not do it.
From what I've heard from women, and I hear from a lot of women, they struggle because their husbands aren't necessarily leading in that area. You've just given them an answer. Like, this could be one of the reasons why they struggle.
Yeah, and I think for a golf game or for anything else, what do I need to do? I need to get a coach. I need to learn how to hit a ball, which I did, and it helped, but I want to train. Mm. And prayer is something haven't trained much in. So we have a guest in the studio today. Yeah, we got a prayer trainer.
Yes.
I mean, John Yates is with us today. Welcome back, John.
It is great to be with you all again today.
Glad to have you here. I mean, you are one of our mentors. You may not know this, but you and Susan, for years, you joined the Family Life team of speakers, you know, a team of us that do the Family Life Weekend Remembered all around the country. How long ago?
Yeah.
And how many years were you on that team?
Well, just 20 years.
Just 20.
Just 20.
Didn't
just 20.
Seem like very long, but they were great years for us. Really, you know, we encourage people to go to the Marriage Weekend to Remember. We know how much impact it has on them, but what they don't realize is how great it is for the speakers.
Exactly.
Yes, speaking changed our lives.
Speaking changed our marriage, too.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that was one part of your life, but for most of your life, you're a pastor of Falls Church in Falls Church, Virginia.
Right.
How many years? 40 years?
40 years.
Yeah.
And you and Susan have been married how many years?
52 years.
Woo!
And
good
we're not
job.
Old yet.
You're
that's
young.
Amazing.
You're
you
young.
Look younger than I do. I know that. And 21 grandkids?
That's right.
You know, Susan was on here last year, Family Life Today, talking about your
cousin camp book. Yeah.
But like I said, you're mentors to us because it's like watching your life is inspiring us young people to copy and finish well. And then you revised the book you wrote over 20 years ago called
How a Man Prays for His Family.
Yeah. How a Man Prays for His Family. Why did you rewrite it? And I know Susan told you to do it, but I mean, do you feel like men today need to learn how to pray just like they did 20 years ago?
Yeah, I just felt like this might prompt some more men a little bit later on in life to rekindle an interest in prayer. And I had heard so many stories from people who loved this simple little book. You know, it's just a little guide to prayer. That's all it is. But I'd heard so many people say what it had meant to them, and men study it in small groups, and they talk about it, and there weren't any copies of it around. You know, it was, they were all gone. And so we just said, well, let's redo this.
Yeah, and like I said, many of us as men, I know it's true for women and wives as well, we need a trainer, somebody to help train us. So what would you say, and it's the title of your book, How Does a Man Pray for His Family?
Yeah. How do I pray for my family? How does a man pray for his family? You know, as a parent, you do everything you can for your kids.
Right.
And you don't expect anybody to help. You do everything you can. But there are a lot of things you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things that you have to turn to God for and ask Him to help you with. I can't change my teenage grandson's attitude about whatever it is. You know, I can talk to him, but I can't change his attitude. Only God can do that. And so I think if a man wants to pray for his family, first of all, he needs to know what's going on in their lives. For instance, I'm praying a lot for grandchildren now. One of my daughters-in-law, whenever one of the children has a birthday, she will write us a letter and she will say, here are the things that you need to know about this girl's life so that you can pray for her. So she helps me know how to pray because I'm not in Charlottesville. Right. I don't know what's going on.
That's a sweet gift and what a good idea.
But it's a great thing for a parent to do for a grandparent. Mm. But another way that you can learn to pray effectively for your family is set aside some time. Well, I'll tell you what Susan and I have done.
Yeah, give us some homework.
I'll tell you, every year in late August, early September, as kids were going back to school, my wife and I would pull away for an overnight, go to some hotel somewhere or something, spend the night, get some rest, and all the next morning, we would spend talking about the children. Okay, here's my son, Chris. Okay, how old is he? Well, say he's 17 right now. He's trying to make a decision about college. Let's talk about him. And Susan would say, what do you think are some of the needs that we need to be aware of in Chris's life? So we would think physical needs, what's going on physically, you know, what health problems, how's he doing in athletics, that sort of thing. Physical needs, spiritual needs, emotional needs, intellectual needs. We would just sort of talk through that child.
Mm.
But anyway, so you try to understand what their needs are, and then you try to discipline yourself in some way to bring these family members to God in prayer and ask God to be working in their lives to meet these needs.
Mm.
I mean, it's pretty simple, but it takes some thought, it takes some discipline, and it takes some love, I guess.
So now let's talk about, okay, is it different as you think? You have a chapter in your book about how a man prays for his wife. What's that look like?
Yeah. In some ways, it's a little different because your relationship with your wife it's closer, it's more intimate. You know, a husband and wife can kind of be inside each other a little bit, and you're more aware of internal struggles, and so that helps you to be able to pray perhaps more wisely. But if I want to pray for my wife, then I have to bring to God certain things on her behalf. And so, for instance, I think about, okay, what's her schedule this week? What's going on in her life? What is she doing?
Oh, so I like this. You have to know your wife and know what's going on in her life in order to pray specifically for her.
Well,
every wife is like, yes, I want my husband to ask me these questions.
Well, you can pray much more helpfully, I think, if you know what she's doing. And it's not just what's on her schedule. You know, you ask yourself, what responsibilities is she carrying? What things does she have to get done that nobody else knows about, but I know about, and I know they're weighing on her? Lord, help her with this. Help her with that. What about her character? What's going on inside? God, what's going on in her mind about things? Is she fearful? Is she anxious? Is she doubting? Is she feeling overwhelmed? You pray about those things.
So you're looking at mental, spiritual, physical, like you're looking at all the areas of her life and how you can pray for her. I get teary thinking of someone, and especially you, Dave, praying for me like that.
Yeah, and I think probably a lot of wives feel that way.
Oh, yes.
Help us understand, what is it that makes you teary?
It's that our husbands would know us so well. Or even they're asking those questions and they care about what's going on in our hearts, because we all long to be known. We all long to be understood, and we all long to be loved unconditionally. But then to take all of that and take it before God, that's one of the most loving, most powerful things a husband could do for his wife.
Of course, you can't really pray for your wife unless you know her and you're talking to her and you're hearing those things. I know just a couple weeks ago on I think it was a Monday night, Ann was going to host a women's night for a new ministry that our son is birthing that has been a dream of yours for literally a dream from God about a women's ministry birthing. And this was like the first, they'd had meetings, but this is the first public. And I get asked to speak the same night to a men's group on the other side of town. And so Ann didn't even know this, but I get on my motorcycle to ride across town because it's a beautiful night in Detroit, Michigan, and the whole time on my bike, I'm praying for Ann's night, just praying for everything, details, her message, the women being moved, and a movement being started in Michigan that we think could be national for women. Mm. I can see it right now. I'm standing in front of all these men at this men's event speaking, and during a pause in my message, I'm praying for Ann. Mm. You know, I just throw up a prayer right there, and I come home, and what all I care about, I couldn't wait to get home. It's like, how'd it go?
And nobody told you you had to do that
it. It was an honor.
It's because you've been married, what, 40-some
41 years?
So you've been married all this time. You know her. It's not that hard to pray for your wife, and especially as you've logged some years together.
Yeah.
When you think about it, you know what she's dealing with.
Mm. For you men, I just want to say, that makes us feel seen. It makes us feel cherished, and it makes us feel like you really care about our spiritual walk with God and every part of our walk in life.
Well, it's interesting. The name of her women's ministry is Heard.
Heard.
Because so many women want to be heard. Mm-hmm. And when a man prays for his wife, I think she feels heard.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I do.
So why don't we do it? Why is it so rare?
One, we don't think about it. Two, we don't feel adequate. Three, we're afraid we'll be embarrassed.
Hmm.
Four, maybe our faith is pretty weak.
Hmm.
But if we could really understand how much it means to our wives, we probably would attempt it more frequently.
Hmm. And let me encourage the wives that are listening. If your husband prays for you, even if it's a short prayer, even if it's a sentence, even if he's prayed for dinner, can I just encourage you to encourage him? Just to say thank you. Like, that means so much to our family when you initiate that prayer. Like, that means so much to me. Thank you. Don't say, well, finally, or about time, or I've been wishing you, you know, kind of that voice or that tone.
Or you call that a prayer?
Yeah. To encourage whatever step he takes toward prayer, I would just encourage him and pray for him to have that confidence. Be confident in him when he doesn't have the confidence in himself. John, you brought your prayer notebook. Do you have any prayers in there that you've written?
Huh.
about Susan. Can we hear one that you prayed for her? Is
that
very personal?
That's getting pretty personal.
Gosh, I don't know.
It's a prayer journal between him and God.
I don't know.
I know. I'm just nosy.
Share it with the world.
Oh, here's a whole list of things I was praying for Susan in fall.
Oh, let's hear that.
Fall of 1996. Well, let's see. What can I read? For her to be encouraged and peaceful about our family and our marriage. That God would feed and nourish her and her spirit. That God would be preparing her for the time when the children are gone.
Because
that was not too long before they started leaving. Oh, I prayed for her relationship with a teacher in our high school. This was a really difficult woman. And it's too long a story for me to go into it, but I prayed over this relationship for 20 years. And before this woman died, we saw amazing answers to prayer in her life. She was one of these teachers who used to mock the kids because of their faith in school, and then her whole life changed around.
Because of your prayer.
Yeah, well,
Part of it.
Because of my wife's persistence, probably. asking God to guide her in her writing. She was beginning to write some books then. And I was asking God to control her imagination because she has a pretty wild imagination, and sometimes it gets the better of her.
I don't know if God answered that one, did he?
I don't know if he did.
Probably her imagination was from him.
Anyway, just that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I just say to the men, when you're praying for members of your family, just talk to God. Just say, now, God, here's my wife. You know her. You know that she's got this concern about her health. She got this report the other day. You know, she's worried about it. Lord, please give her assurance that she's going to be okay. Help her to feel secure. I can't seem to pull that off, but you can, God. I mean, that's not as good as the Lord's Prayer, but it's good enough. I mean, God doesn't care, you know?
Yes.
Well, in some ways, it sounds like, you know, we live in a natural world, and we're asking God to do something supernatural in our natural world. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to love her and communicate with her. But like you said earlier, I can't change her heart. I can't change my son or daughter's heart. God, you have to do that. And so I'm going to come to you. Let me ask you this. How many times do you maybe pray the same prayer?
You know, that's a really good question. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you know, knock and the door will be opened, seek and you will find, ask and it will be given to you. But the way he said it in the original, the tense is ask and keep on asking, knock and keep on knocking. And I used to think it was foolish to ask for the same thing repeatedly. But then I thought about my relationship with my children. When they came to me and asked for something, I wasn't always all that clear how serious they were, how important it was to them, what it meant to them. But if they came back over and over again and said, Dad, I really need your help with this or whatever, it's a way that they demonstrate to their father how important something is in their life. And so when we bring something to God in prayer and we bring it back again a few days later, we bring it back again, there's no shame in that. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes God answers a prayer by saying, yes, right now. You know, sometimes he says, you got to be kidding. No way. Sometimes he says, not now. A wise man used to say, talk about how God works in response to our needs. And he said, delay is not denial. So if God, he may say in prayer, you keep asking, in my time, I will do what is right. Delay doesn't mean I'm denying your request. God doesn't always answer the way you want him to, but many times he does. And I would like to make another point about prayer, though. One of the things I've come to appreciate as I've got a little more time now is prayer is also being still before God, and prayer is trying to listen to God. I know you know this, but now, because I don't have to hurry in the morning and get off, I have more time just to sit with a cup of coffee early in the morning and just sit with God, just be with God. And I will eventually get to those lists, you know, but I found that it's very helpful just to sort of reflect in God's presence on the day before, you know, think about the conversations, think about what we did, to give God thanks, to sort of go back and re-examine, how did I handle that? Oh, I need to do something about that, make a little note, you know, don't forget to do this. And I've just found great delight sort of in sitting in the presence of God and reflecting on the day before, reflecting on the day ahead, asking his help on the things that are coming, the things that are coming up, and not being in a hurry so that I'm able to let my mind go in whatever direction it will go. And you know, every morning your mind goes in different directions. But to do that in the presence of God, I've found it to be very, just a great blessing.
You know, I was coming home from visiting my dad in Ohio, driving back home to Michigan. And I had just lost my mom. She was 90 years old. My parents had been married 70 years. And I remember that drive is 4 hours. And for the first hour, I remember just talking to God the whole time, telling him what I was feeling, crying. But there was an intimacy of love that I felt about my Heavenly Father. Like, and I remember saying, Jesus, you're my best friend. Like, I felt and feel about Jesus the way I had first felt about Dave when we were dating. Like, I can't wait to be with you. I can't wait to talk to you. I can't wait to hear what you think about this or to feel your presence and your power and your majesty in the car. And it's that overwhelming sense of peace that just comforted my soul. And I thought, oh, Lord, that's the greatest gift, your presence. And I think God longs for that relationship with us, that as Paul said, to pray without ceasing, that's what it looks like. It's just you're with your best friend and you're telling him everything that's going on in your heart, with your family, with your spouse, with your kids, your worries. And I love to think, and I know that he is intent upon every word and emotion and feeling because he's a loving God that cares for us.
I'm thinking for me, and I think a lot of men are probably feeling the same thing, I want to get a prayer journal going. I used to do that. And I remember often I'd write out prayers and then I'd put an L on my little paper and put my pen down.
Yeah.
L meant listen. And then say, okay, God, are you saying anything? And I'm, you know, I always ask, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? But to have that in writing, or you could even do it digitally if you don't want to do it on your phone or whatever, but to have a copy that someday, because I'm guessing those prayer journals are going to end up in your grandkids' hands someday.
Maybe
it's
they
be
will.
A legacy, you
Maybe
know,
they will.
Of a, of a father and a grandfather who prayed for them.
You know, I have a prayer journal. It's in my bag right now, next to my Bible. I just don't write in it the way I should and record the prayers I speak about my life, about my family, about my ministry. Well, I think there's always room for change though, right? So I'm going to start, and I think you should do it with me. Maybe grab a journal, maybe go buy a journal or order one online and start recording your prayers. I think I'm going to do it. I'm Shelby Abbott, and you've been listening to Dave and Ann Wilson with John Yates on Family Life Today. John's written a book called How a Man Prays for His Family. You know, this is more than just a placebo to kind of make you feel better. John's going to show you some tools about how to have a powerful, consistent prayer life. To pick up John's book, you could go to familylifetoday.com and click on Today's Resources. So we've had some incredible friends come beside us and match every dollar we are gifted during this month up to $2.5 million. And so a gift from your home of any amount helps keep this ministry going. I'd love it if you'd take the time right now to either give us a call or go online to familylifetoday.com and make your donation. We're so grateful for those who have already given, and we know that without your generous support, none of this would be possible. So when you do give, in addition to that, we're going to send you a copy of Trillia Newbell's book, 52 Weeks in the Word, as our thank you for your generosity. So you can go online to familylifetoday.com, click on the Donate Now button at the top of the page, or you can give us a call with your donation at 800-358-6329. Again, that number is 800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Or you can feel free to drop us something in the mail if you'd like. Our address is Family Life, 100 Lakehart Drive, Orlando, Florida, 32832. A lot of people ask the question, what are some practical steps to help men raise sons of consequence? Maybe they don't word it that way, but they're thinking that, how can I raise my son in a way that's just different than what the culture tells me and maybe what my natural sinful instincts might be? Well, next week, John Tyson is going to be in the studio with David Ann Wilson to talk about raising sons of consequence. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of David Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.